his last name, not her. He's changing his last name. Or Basil when you're trying to shoot free throws.
Yeah.
Of course they would want the crowd to be silent.
Yeah, of course they would.
Like, his ears are going to be with me. Talk to talk. Yeah, a lot of talk to talk. To talk, talk.
All right. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 19 of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. We're going to get into it. Top 5 games of the week. Go over all that. Going to get into our upset of the week. And then for our entertainment portion, we are backing that behind our fantasy competition because it is our last week of fantasy it competition. Is. At least scoring-wise, we're done with the draft.
And then we'll move on to the next sport.
We'll move on to the NHL draft. So we'll do our final scores from the fantasy football portion, do our fantasy award ceremony after that, and then go over our NHL rules and regulation from there. So to start everything off, I went 4-1 in my top 5 pick games of the week. My one loss coming from Buffalo, Bills beating the Pats. I picked the Pats to win, and then I bet on the Bills to win, like with my money. So I was figuring I was going to go 4-1 in either one. I just didn't think I'd do worse in my betting than I did, unfortunately. So yeah, 4-1 is the best I did for there. With that being my only loss, with the Bills beating the Patriots 35-31, got UConn beating Florida 77-73, which I believe that belongs in the top five as well. Both these games were very good. Arizona, Alabama.
Wait, what did you say? What was your first one?
The UConn, my number one game is the Buffalo Bills Patriots game. That's actual number one game in top five games. UConn that's beating why
Florida.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's my number two game, but that was the first pick game. So I pick them in order of when they're supposed to either tip off, kick off, or drop the puck. Like, that's kind of order how I put them in my pick top five, but how they end up in the actual is actual top five of where they should be. So, yeah, I've got that Bills-Patriots game as the number one game, UConn, Florida being the actual number two game. So that's kind of the order I'm going in. The other two games I did not put in there, or at least, I didn't put in there. So the Arizona-Alabama game going 96-75, I picked Arizona to win that game, so that's a win for me. And then the Broncos and the Packers going 34-26, I picked Denver to win that game. That also does not end up in my actual top five game. But the one that does is the Navy-Army game. That game was freaking crazy. Navy beating Army 17-16. Yep. So yeah, and I picked right on that one with Navy winning. So that's my fourth win there.
Nice. Yeah, we had somewhat same ones. So yeah, I actually went 4-1 myself. But my only loss was 25 ranked Arkansas beating the 19th ranked Texas Tech 93-86. I had picked Texas Tech because I thought they had a chance to win, especially at home. But no, Arkansas beat them fairly handily, so that was my one loss. Like you, I had the Bills and the Pats, but I chose the Bills. Squeaked that one out with a win. I, too, also had UConn beating Florida, which they did 77-73. It's another couple losses there for Florida, so it's been a tough ride so far against the good teams they've had to play. See if they can pick it back up in the SEC games. I had Kentucky against Indiana, and I picked Kentucky to win that one, and they did. It was a good win for them because it was a ranked win. They needed that, especially at home. And then, like you, also I had the Army Navy game, and I had picked Navy to win, so they won 17-16. It was a pretty much a boring game up until like the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Then it started getting kind of crazy with like fumbles and then going for it on fourth down to get into the end zone. It was just a wild sequence of events that last like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was a very crazy last quarter of that game that kind of made it more thrilling to me. So number one game of the week, like I said, Bills Patriots. I'm giving player of the game to James Cook. 111 all-purpose yards, 3 touchdowns. One of them was a receiving touchdown, so go off for him. UConn, Florida going 77-73, giving player of the game to Alex Caraban with 13 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist there. with the Army-Navy game. I put that as the fifth game, so I've got it kind of behind. Two more men's basketball games here, but I'll go over that real quick. Navy beating Army 17-16, giving player of the game to Blake Horvath. Like, he did really well running-wise. He didn't do too well as an actual quarterback. So he had 107 rushing yards to his 82 passing yards and obviously had an interception. But he got a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. So two touchdowns to an interception is not too bad for a quarterback in my sense. The other two games that actually make it in top five here for me, the number 23 Nebraska Cornhuskers beating number 13 Illinois to stay undefeated 83-80. That game was back and forth. It was almost like, could Illinois pull it off? Could Nebraska stay defeated the whole time? Like, it was just a great watch there for that game. Giving player of the game to Price Sanford, 32 points, one rebound, and three assists for him. And then the other game is number 19, Kansas and NC State going into overtime. Kansas, unfortunately, winning. Sorry, Kyle, your upset of the week did not hit, but Kansas wins.
Close.
Taking them to overtime is impressive at the very end. Like, still, you take any team like that to overtime, you got some guys on your squad. Giving player of the game to Melvin Council Jr. With 36 points, seven rebounds, and four assists there.
Yeah, I like that. We have three of the same on there. Obviously, number one, Bills-Pats. That was a really good game. Pats were up, I think, 21-0 at, like, halftime. So, crazy comeback for the Bills. And this was at Foxborough. So, this is in New England. I saw that you gave it to James Cook, so I just went ahead and give it to Josh Allen. He had almost 200 yards passing. He gave himself three touchdowns and 48 yards on the ground. Yeah, it was a good game. It was a big game for the Bills because they can still come back on the Pats, but it was good for them. It was like a much-needed win against a good team. I'll just go over the ones that we had the same. So, yeah, like you, I had 19 Kansas beating NC State 77-76 in overtime. Like you, I gave it to Melvin Council. I was watching that game, and it was crazy. That dude went off. He couldn't miss a three. He went 9-for-15 from three. So,
oh, wow.
Literally, yeah, the second half, it was just three after three after three from him. And then he hit the big one to basically tie the game. So, yeah, it sucks for NC State. They had a chance at the end. They heaved one up at the end. It was a fairly decent shot. So he had a good look, just didn't go in. Tough loss for NC State, but it was kind of like a much-needed win for Kansas, though, too. Like you, I had the Army-Navy, 17-16. And like you, I gave it to the quarterback, Blake Horvath. I'm not as down on his passing numbers because Navy is a triple option. So 82 yards passing.
They're a normal running game. I know that. Yeah, but yeah, like when you come to option, a quarterback for me.
Triple option quarterback throwing for 82 yards is actually quite a lot for them. So, yeah, he got 82 yards and a touchdown. He threw the one pick. But yeah, he had the 100 on the ground and another touchdown. It was just crazy. Like, it was like a fumble, then caught back, then the one fumble he fumbled, the other guy picked up, they knocked it out of his hands, they get the ball back, and then on fourth down they throw it in the end zone. It was just a crazy sequence of events on that goal line for Navy to win. The two I have different from you, I have Lions losing to the Rams 34-41. That was a fun game to watch, which is almost like every Lions game just seemed like recently, but that was just an all offense back and forth.
Yep.
Lions went up by 10 at one point, and then Rams came back and then took the lead and then kept the lead. So, yeah, that game was a crazy game. Rams are for real. They just don't really have a defense, so we'll see how they do this week against Seattle. I just gave it to Puka. Puka had an awesome game. He had 9 catches for 181 yards. About gave it to the running game in general for the Rams because Corum had like 70 yards and a touchdown, and then Kyron had like 77 and two touchdowns. So like their running game actually did really well.
Yes,
it's helping Kyron out. It's helping Kyron out a lot that they're actually able to give Corum about 12 touches, 13 touches a game. So, and he's doing very well the last 3-4 games with his touches. So he's a guy to watch out for, especially for next year, like sleeper.
Oh yeah,
running backs to pick up because Kyron goes down, you could have a fantasy winner and Corum on your team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. My last one, I have switched to hockey a little bit here. I got the Carolina Hurricanes kind of beating their rivals. I just feel like this has been more of a rivalry game the last like 4 or 5 years. So they beat the Caps 3-2 in a shootout.
It is a rivalry, that's for sure.
Yeah. So they beat them in a shootout at Washington, which is a big win for the Hurricanes. Player of the game, I got to give it to the rookie goalie, Brandon Boosie. Some Boosie in there.
Boosie.
some Boosie. He had he was 23 of 25 saves, and in the shootout he stopped all three shots. The kid's great, and if this dude plays like this whole season and they have him long term and he's not just a flash in the pan, Hurricanes are gonna be dangerous, because this is the one thing they've kind of been missing the last 3-4 years. Is there's two things they've been missing. One was power play in the playoffs. Their special teams in the playoffs were horrendous the last few years. But also a goalie. They just, if he's going to turn out to be like a starting number one goalie, not a 1A, 1B type goalie, they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs. So,
okay.
And then my honorable mention, I had to throw it in there. It was a good game. Boring, but good. I had Chargers beating the Chiefs 16-13. Got to be honorable mention just because that is knocking Mahomes out of the playoffs for the first time in his career.
Time to celebrate, everybody. Drink some Kansas City. Over.
You can't see, look, you just can't say he's GOAT status anymore. The conversation's over.
Yeah, I mean,
right here. This is the conversation's over, because Tom Brady never did that.
Well, if you're talking about Tom Brady, this same exact season, same exact age, is when Tom Brady went undefeated and lost to the New York Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So,
I'm just saying.
If we're going to say same age, same season, everything, yeah.
Yep. Got to give it. So, yeah, that was my honorable mention for that one.
Yeah, my honorable mention goes to a basketball game that's kind of like a diamond in the rough that you don't see every day. Providence and Butler going into overtime. Butler winning 113-110. Imagine having the over on that. I mean,
that's an NBA score right there.
That's only
one overtime too. So that's even crazier.
That's crazy. And I'm giving player of the game to Michael Ajayi. Try that. I don't know.
Ajayi.
He gets 28 points, 15 rebounds, going double double, and then 2 assists. So props to him. Upset of the week. My upset of the week missed. BYU beat Clemson 67-64 on a last minute three, and I was very upset.
You almost had it.
And what was even more upsetting for me, because we were behind that game, apparently one of the BYU big guys decided to go up and dunk on the rim and completely bend the rim like sideways to where they had to go up and fix their stature to the basketball. So we were
delayed your game.
We were even delayed more than what we should have been just because of that. So yeah, I've got that guy's number ingrained to my brain. I will not say alive, but I will be showing Florida basketball players Bill Laimbeer highlights and be like, you see how this guy is playing basketball right here? Now you see this number on BYU, you go do that to that guy.
Yeah. Bill Laimbeer. Get a little physical down low.
Get a little physical, draw some blood.
No.
Actual upset, though, I'm giving it to the New Orleans Saints beating the Carolina Panthers 20-17.
That was a big upset win.
That was a very big upset win. I haven't done an NFL game on my side of things, so I thought it was due time to give it to one, and I think that takes the cake. Yeah. Giving player of the game to Chris Olave, 85 receiving yards and 1 receiving touchdown. So
nice. Yeah, we went over mine. So NC State, I had NC State over Kansas. They had their chance just like yours. They were both leading and then just folded at the end. My actual is one of your top games. I have 23 Nebraska upsetting 13 Illinois, and this was at Illinois. It's a very hard place to play. So, yeah, Nebraska to me was a very well-deserving upset, because they're now, 12-0? So
yeah, now they're still undefeated. Yep.
Yeah, Nebraska and Michigan, that's it.
So it'll be interesting to see those two teams match up later on this season.
It will be.
All right, moving on to the top five games to watch this week for us. Obviously, we got some college football playoff games to talk about, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of NFL as well. So
it's just disappointing that you literally have the first round of the playoffs starting this weekend, and I could only throw in 2 of the games.
I mean, yeah.
It's disappointing. It should be all of them. It should literally be our 4 games. Four of the 5 should all be the playoff games. But here we are with only 2 worthy games to be able to watch.
Here we are with only 2 worthy games, and Alex has only mentioned one of the other 2 just because he's going
to
say it as his upset.
Upset
prediction.
He's got his upset.
He's got his upset prediction as one of them. So obviously our two that we're talking about
is the two. Let's go with the two.
Number nine, Alabama versus number eight, Oklahoma in football. It's going to be in Oklahoma hosting for the college football playoff, and that's on Friday. So we're going to go. I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I believe Kyle's going the same, right?
Yep, I got Oklahoma.
And then we're differing on the other one.
I think there's just too much talk going on in Alabama with whether DeBoer's leaving, he's staying. Do they deserve to be in? Do they not? And then you have the factor of playing at Norman. So,
yeah.
Could Bama beat them? Sure. I could literally come and be like, yep, that's Bama. They won. But I do think Oklahoma overall has a better team than them. And I think their quarterback, Bama's quarterback, got hurt in the last game. So we'll see how healthy he actually is for this game. So, yeah, I got to stick with Oklahoma on this one. I just think they're an overall better team than Alabama this year.
Yeah, totally agree. And then the one on Saturday is number 10 Miami versus number 7 Texas A&M. That will be in Texas. I believe A&M will win with that home field advantage on Saturday. So I'm just gonna stick with my guns on that one as well.
It was hard. I really want to go with them. It just sucks. I feel like if this is a neutral game, I would almost fully bet on Miami, but
sure. If it was neutral, I'd be on the same side as you. But
I'm still taking Miami because I just think Miami is a better team than Texas A&M. I don't know. I'm still not sold on Texas A&M. I've already talked about this for like three straight weeks where they are a great team, but when you go and play your SEC schedule and you played, I think all but one of the bottom six teams in the SEC, that was your SEC schedule. Like that's doesn't look good. And you almost lost to one where you should have lost to South Carolina.
I'm
not sold on them.
They were definitely very behind in that game. And South Carolina could have pulled off a upset win if they decided to even score two more touchdowns, but they just flopped in the second half.
I'm a little bit more sold on Miami. Depends on if Carson Beck shows up, but that's why I'm a little bit more confident with Miami because they have a guy at quarterback that's played in this situation for like 3 years. Like he's done this every year, played in the playoffs. So,
and he's played in the SEC too.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about him going on the road with composure issues. So Miami's a good team. So we'll see. It should be a good game.
It should be. It will be. My other three games alongside that. So tonight we've got number 11 Louisville taking on number 20 Tennessee in men's basketball. This is in Tennessee, so I'm going to take Tennessee with the home court advantage there. Could be considered an upset, but I don't think it's much with Tennessee being at home. I think they're favored just by, slight 1.5 margin, but we'll see. Got LA Rams at the Seahawks on Thursday night. It was between this one, choosing either this one or the Buccaneers-Panthers game. But with both these teams at 11 wins, this game just like takes the cake from them for the NFL. So with only room for only one NFL game, I'm taking the Thursday night game, which you don't really see this on a Thursday night. You would expect to see the Buccaneers-Panthers game on Thursday night, LA Rams and Seahawks game being the random 4:30 kickoff time on Sunday.
These Thursday night games are usually like Jacksonville versus the Titans or something like that. But I wanted to throw this on there, but I saw you put it on there, so I left it as is. Like this is arguably the top game of the season, honestly, for them, because these are two teams battling for first place in their one in their division and two in their conference. They're both like 1-2. So it'll be a fun game.
It will be. And then my other one is also a Saturday game, but this is men's basketball, really. It's between number 3 Duke and number 19 Texas Tech. This is a neutral site game at Madison Square Garden in New York. But I'm going to just take Duke on this one. I believe they're just the better team. A little bit further travel for Texas Tech to go. And, don't know how each team has done, really, essentially, at neutral site games, but with Texas Tech having a better team overall in my eyes, I think they have the edge, and I'm going to take them for that game on Saturday.
I like it. Safe bet going with Duke. So, yeah, luckily we have three other different games in each other. So I got one hockey one. I got a possibly future, I would say, but they're hurt. But we got the Carolina Hurricanes going down to Miami to play the Florida Panthers. So, big hockey game. Florida's not Florida right now because they're also battling injuries. They're still a good team. I'm taking the Hurricanes to go down there to win that game. Should be a fun game to watch. They usually are when they play each other. So, You got that, and you have one of probably the other second biggest NFL game is one of my other ones, which is the Green Bay Packers going into Soldier Field to play the Chicago Bears.
That is another big game.
This is basically battle for first place right now because I think Detroit's still one game back, and then Green Bay and Chicago are tied.
Mm-hmm.
But Detroit's almost like two games back because if Green Bay's and if they're tied with Green Bay has the
Green Bay has the tiebreaker, and then
the tiebreaker. So they're almost like basically
Detroit has the tiebreaker until they play again at the end of the season
when they play Chicago.
Yep.
But so in this one, I'm going with Green Bay, but it was hard. I'm only with Green Bay just because Green Bay has just owned Chicago the last like 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
Until otherwise proven, I'm just going to take Green Bay. But this is a game I could see Chicago winning just because they're playing well. So we'll see. But I'm going to take Green Bay in this one. It should be a fun game, a cold game outside in the weather. So here we go.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. It's going to be windy. Hopefully you get some snow. It'll be a fun game to watch. Last game, I've got probably the only other big-time ranked matchup in basketball. I got the 8th-ranked Houston Cougars taking on the 14th-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, I was looking at that one too.
Yeah, Arkansas's coming off a big win against Texas Tech. So I still can't go with them. I got to go with Houston. Houston's a very well-coached team, solid team like they have been the last 3 years, 4 years. So I'm not going to bet against Houston right now until I'll prove otherwise, just like with Green Bay and Chicago. So I'm taking Houston in that one. And then to our upset pick. So my upset pick, I'm taking Ohio State. Ugh, I hate saying it, but I'm taking Ohio State in men's basketball to upset 12th-ranked UNC in the ACC Big Ten showdown for them. I think UNC is a really good team. I don't think they're 12th ranked. They've been struggling even against like the smaller schools to like kind of just like beat the brakes off of these teams. Like this past week, and they struggled against, I forgot who it was. It was not a good team, but they struggled to get a good lead, and they still only beat them within the teens.
Oh, USC Upstate.
Yeah, and they were struggling with them for some reason. But yeah, I think it's because UNC's also got Seth Trimble hurt, but that's a tough game because Ohio State's not slouch. They've only lost, I think, one or two games, so they're a decent team. They have one of the best point guards in basketball, so I could see Ohio State upsetting UNC. So that will be my pick.
Okay, interesting. And obviously my pick is one of the other college football playoff games to happen on Saturday. Yes, I'm going to take Tulane over number 6 Ole Miss, I believe, in Summerall. Believe in Summerall. Believe in the man.
There's a shot. If out of the two between them and Oregon, the other one, I would take Tulane.
Yeah,
Tulane's a good team.
That's exactly why I'm taking that one.
Tulane played them pretty good last time. But that's a tough hill to climb, especially playing in Ole Miss. But
very tough hill to climb, but I believe they can climb it.
We've seen crazier things.
Yes, we have. All right. Now, back to our NFL fantasy competition for our final scoreboard update. We will not have any more picks. The lemonade board is cleared. Oh, my goodness. It's gone. It's all gone.
And Kyle has to take the final week just to just rub it into – take Alex's face and just rub it into the dog shit right there.
Just like, ow.
Taking the final week.
Anyways, Brock Purdy outscores Dak Prescott for me with 32.2 points. James Cook outscores Bucky Irving with 30.1 points. Jamar Chase outscores Juwan Jennings with 18.2 points. Wandale Robinson outscores Darius Slayton with 13.9 points. Juwan Johnson outscores Dalton Kincaid with just 5 points. Woody Marks outscoring Emeka Ibuka with 10.3 points. Jacksonville outscoring San Francisco Duval with 10 points. Oh. And to just, you know, bookcase close it. Just the bookcase
close. We started with them. We got to end with them.
Brandon McManus outscores Jake Elliott with 16 points. So a total of 135.7 points as my grand total for the final score for me.
McManus taking it home.
Is 1,736.9 for me for my final total score there.
All right. You actually put up a good score, but I had a lot of big names for me this week. So I had Matthew Stafford outdueling Drake May. He got me 24.9 points. I had Travis Etienne outdoing Derrick Henry with 30 points. I had Puka Nacua over Justin Jefferson. He got me 23.4. I had DK Metcalf over T. Higgins with 13 points, who also ended my fantasy season in our sleeper draft, or our sleeper league. If he didn't get that last freaking touchdown where he broke three tackles, I would have won. And also, if Joe Burrow only got me just 10 points, I would have won. Freaking 5 points from Joe Burrow. Great. George Kittle outdoing Mark Andrews, 18.8 points. Travion Henderson, his freaking come-out game against Blake Corum, he had 29.1 points. Then I had the Eagles defense outdoing Texans with 16 points. In the battle of my who was the worst kicker in the world, Younghoe Koo got me 1 point over Evan McPherson with zero. So that put me to 156.2 points for the week. Total, the totals are in. I won with 1,919.5 points. Then we had 11 wins to four, mm-hmm. and I had the most in week 10 with 172.9. It was a clean sweep in the NFL draft this year for Kyle.
It was a very clean sweep for Kyle, that is for sure.
Clean
not,
sweep.
Not great for Alex.
Trying to take the NHL draft.
All right. So with that, yep, we get some good totals in there. Moving on to the NHL. Gonna go over some rules and regulation. So for the first rule and regulation is more of a question, Kyle. Which way do we want to go about this? We can go two ways is what I'm thinking. So the way that I have this NHL roster set up is we're drafting the same amount of players as our NFL draft. Like literally that's what it's looking look what we're looking at here. We can do what I was thinking, do one more flex and call it a day, or get rid of the two flexes, just do three forwards, 2D, one goalie, and go Iron Man style.
What's the Iron Man style?
Just three forwards. Don't have to be specific, like, you know, center, left wing, right wing, two defense, and then one goalie. Like Iron Man, just like an Iron Man team. Like if you like showed up to a pickup game, you call yourselves an Iron Man team.
I do like it. I almost like where we can just leave it as is with the center, left wing, right wing, two Ds, and we can either do one or two goalies, almost like a hybrid of it.
Well, one goal. I would say one goalie in the flex is our offense.
Not fair. That's fair. I like that.
Or we can do one more goalie and just one flex. Because I would rather just do goalie if we're going to do a goalie position. I would rather put a goalie in the flex position and just call it a day.
And we could run out of goalies fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Yeah, I say we just take out one flex. Leave it as is and just take out one flex.
Take out one flex?
Yeah, we'll just do one flex and then your normal center, left wing, right wing, two Ds. And now with a flex, we won't do goalies. It'll just be forwards and defense.
Gotcha. All right, let me see if I can do this real quick.
But other than that, I like that. It's pretty much the same rules apply as how we did in the NFL. We'll do, we have 11 weeks of it.
Yep.
And because hockey is a little different than football, it's going to be the accumulative points from Monday to Monday, or Monday to Sunday, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah, because that's how our NHL league actually
podcast
works.
To podcast. Well, yeah. So if in the case that we have
the totals do come out Monday morning for our NHL league every week, no matter what. So the week does restart every Monday for us.
Just for clarification purposes, because sometimes we do run into a Tuesday, Wednesday episode. We're still sticking to Monday to Sunday. We'll stick to Monday to Sunday, and if it's a short week, then it'll be Tuesday to Sunday, and so forth and so on.
Yeah. Just the 2 weeks that we'll probably won't be able to do it is the Olympics week, but that's still up in the air because apparently news with the Winter Olympics is not great at all.
And we'll do a pick'ems in our Olympics.
We're all picking USA.
They're all gonna play three games, so we just pick. We show the entire game and we pick. See who has the best picks.
All right, who do you got? USA. Who do you got? USA.
Yeah, USA.
Well, USA, that's easy. Duh. That's easy. All right, on to our fantasy awards now. Back to the NFL we go. Okay. We go over who is the best for each position for the quarterback, running back, wide receiver one, and wide receiver two, the tight end position, flex position, defense and special teams, the kicker. We got MVP award, offensive player of the year award, comeback player of the year award, offensive rookie of the year award, rookie player of the year award, and who pooped their pants the most. All right, so
pooped their pants.
For quarterback, I think we are at a consensus of Josh Allen.
Josh Allen getting that one. Yep. It was hard to not say it was him just because of I think he outscored the next closest by like 40 points. So it wasn't even close. So you had to go with him.
All right. For running back, I've got it going to Jonathan Taylor.
It was between him or my guy. So I gave it to mine just because I'm giving Taylor it down the road just to foreshadow. So mine, I'm giving it to Christian McCaffrey. Just missing the touchdowns.
I like that.
But it's crazy. He's played every game this year. Mr. Dependable this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, for wide receiver number one, I'm giving it to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I believe he deserves that award. Yep. Good old JSN. All right, for wide receiver number two, I'm giving my award to George Pickens.
Pickens.
I think he had a pretty good year.
Did have actually a really good year, especially when CeeDee went down.
Especially when CeeDee went down and made that pick. Like if you slept, didn't pick him till like the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I think that's
a steal pick for him.
Yeah, that's definitely good for me.
Wide receiver two for me. Got to go with the Flying Hawaiian. Let's give it to Puka Nacua. Even being injured for missing like two or three games, he still is number two overall wide receiver. So he's had a crazy season.
I like that. All right, for tight end, I'm giving it to
not even close.
Trey McBride.
Yep, not even close. I think he outscored like the next one by like 100 points or something like that. It wasn't even close.
Full consensus on that guy. Okay.
Yeah, that's a full consensus.
All right.
We'll probably differ here on our flex award.
Yeah, for the flex award, I tried it. Well, the thing was, is I was thinking the best player that normally ended up in that flex position. I wasn't thinking like the best player that could have gone in the flex position. I was thinking like who out of all the draft picks ended up probably the most in the flex position. And I think it was Rico Dowdle. So I'm giving it to Rico for the flex position. That's kind of how I thought position.
I was gonna say if it was going by, if I did it by that way, I probably would have also said Rico, because Rico definitely had a stretch of like five games there where he was just perfect for that, like perfect for your team, and it was a pickup player. The one I gave it to though, I'm giving it to Devon Achan just because of kind of not in the conversation for like the best running back of the year, but he had quietly a very consistent year where putting up almost 20 points every week. So I got to give him some love somewhere on here. So I'm giving it to him in the flex.
I like that. I mean, at the end of the day, if you did have, a couple, running backs that were better, or if you had if you had a one running back lead like we had this whole time, he probably ended up in your flex the whole season.
Especially at the start of the season where it was like he probably should just be right in the flex spot, and then now it's basically obviously he's a RB1.
Yeah, I like that. All right, defense and special teams. I'm giving my award to Seattle. I believe they had a very great season defensively. Yeah, good consensus then.
I like that.
All right.
We're probably going the same way with the kicker too.
Kicker? I've got mine going to Brandon Aubrey.
Oh, going to Brandon Aubrey. He did have a stellar season.
He had a great season.
Especially his last like 2-3 weeks. He beat me this week because of him. I kept it in Seattle, gave it to Jason Myers. He had an awesome year. He was the number one overall kicker for the year. So Congrats to our pickers.
I like it. I like that. All right, so the MVP award, I'm giving it to the guy who I gave the quarterback trophy to, Josh Allen. Come on back up for your MVP award.
Yeah, he got his MVP. My MVP, like I foreshadowed that I was going to use him later on, I'm giving it to Jonathan Taylor Thomas here at MVP. He put up, I think he's got like 18 touchdowns this year, so he had an awesome year again. Slowed down a little bit here the last few weeks, but deservingly for MVP.
I like that.
He was picked at the right spot. So if you picked him like second or third, you were not disappointed with your pick on him.
I like that. All right. I think we're at a consensus of offensive player of the year. Jackson Smith and Jigba, come back on up for your offensive player of the year.
Jackson had an awesome year. See, I looked at that offensive player of the year as like, where we draft these guys and where they finish. Jackson was probably a consensus, maybe fourth-ish, somewhere in there.
Yep.
Fourth, fifth round. I mean, like in my keeper league, I had picked him up last year in free agent. So him and Puka have been my, like, my 10th pick and my 8th pick. And it's just like going to keep going that way. But yeah, him to finish, like, or him to start at like a fourth round pick and to finish the number one overall wide receiver. So he'd be a first round pick. That's easily offensive player of the year for category.
I like that. All right. For the comeback offensive player of the year, I think we're out of consensus on this one as well.
I feel like this was the only answer, I feel like, just from being hurt and hurt all year to being the number two running back in the NFL. Not missing a game.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with CMC. I mean, he's very reliable, very stout kid. Like, he can still run the ball even when he's injured. So yeah, so come back
some,
on
he
up.
He needs some
there,
more touchdowns.
CMC, but, get your comeback player of the award a year.
I mean, if Christian McCaffrey just got maybe like three or four more touchdowns than what he had, he would have outdone Jonathan Taylor by a mile. He just didn't get touchdowns this year.
Love it. All right, so
I think we're going to differ here.
Rookie player of the year, I'm giving mine to Travion Henderson. Even though he didn't get a lot of touches, he didn't get a lot of looks from his coach. He should have. He had a great year when he had the chance. And I think he could have had a more better of a year if his coach gave him a better chance at everything. So, yeah.
So mine, I got to go with him because if he would have started from day one and or hadn't missed a couple games, he would have finished as like the top three quarterback of the season. So I'm giving my offensive rookie of the year to Jackson Dart of the Giants. Dude averaged like 24 points, 25 points starting. So yeah, I feel like he was much deserved. And I want to give myself a pat on the back because I did say during the draft last year, he was my favorite quarterback coming out of this draft class was Jackson Dart.
Yep. He's very good, and he's lived up to his name, that's for sure.
Yep.
All right, on to the worst.
The worst of the worst. At the quarterback position. Never win.
I'm giving mine to Joe Burrow.
See, I didn't want to go that route just because he's been hurt all year. So I was trying to avoid a lot of the injury ones because if that was the case, I would have given it to Lamar out of all of them. I didn't want to punish them, though.
I don't know who to punish at the end of the day. That's the thing, too. It's like I'm just
there was
like
one name for me that did because he was going to be averaged around hopeful like a 12, 13, possibly of low-end starting quarterback for your team. And he finished, I think, at like 24 or 25. So I'm giving my worst quarterback to Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
Yeah, especially the start. His start was horrendous. But yeah, like I could have gone Lamar on this because he started out awesome the first like six games. Then he got hurt and then has done almost nothing since he's come back from his injury. So he's not been the same quarterback since he got hurt. Yeah. But I'm sticking with two on this. I'm not trying to like punish someone for being hurt.
I get that. I get where you're going with that. So I think I can pick up what you're putting down, and I'm giving it to for the running back Chuba Hubbard.
Yep. I think we're on consensus on that one. Olchuba, man, I think he was average picked, what, third, fourth round, somewhere in there?
Yep, he was definitely a high round pick for a lot of people. High, mid round,
and ended up, he got hurt for like a week or two, and then when he came back, didn't have a starting position anymore. So, yeah, that was a burn. That one hurt a lot of fantasy teams. So, easy consensus with Chuba Hubbard there.
Yep, very easy, very easy. For wide receiver one, for me, unfortunately, I'm giving it to Ladd McConkey for not having
a down year.
Yeah, for having a down year. I mean, I feel like a lot of people picked him, you know, a lot higher than he probably should have been picked, just because they were knowing that he was going to be possibly wide receiver one, and then you have Keenan Allen basically almost taking the role from him, like, throughout the season too, and it was just like you didn't know who was wide receiver one for a good portion of the season with the Chargers, and they ran it a lot more too.
It was the case of the sophomore slump.
Yep.
And my first wide receiver is the same thing, going to a sophomore slump. So mine, he had super high expectations. In most drafts, I think he was either a late first or an early second, was Brian Thomas Jr. for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had so much hype going into the season, and he has not produced at that level. I don't know if it was his fault or just how their offense is. I'm not going to say, I mean, obviously he's a great wide receiver, but he did not put up early or late first, early second numbers. He, in fact, only put up maybe like sixth, seventh round numbers for the season. So he is my sophomore slump wide receiver one.
Yeah, that makes sense. That all that just definitely adds up. And then wide receiver two for me, I've got it going to Stephon Diggs. I believe he was like, you know, one of those high rounder, you know, he's going within the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, and he just didn't live up to his name, unfortunately, with that pick.
I mean, I liked Diggs' play this year. He was too risky. Like, he was one of those players where he was just always going to be on your bench. Like, you just felt like you couldn't start him. But then every time he's on your bench, he still gets that one touchdown. It's like, of course. Then you start him and he does nothing, gets one catch for like 5 yards. So, yeah, he was a hard person to play on your fantasy team this year. My wide receiver two, and it's honestly no fault to really him. It's more of just the quarterback and their season they had. I got to go with Justin Jefferson. Jay Jettis has had a terrible year, honestly, by his numbers. Yeah. He was taking within the first six picks of the draft, and he's going to finish wide receiver, maybe almost in the wide receiver three range. So whoever drafted Justin Jefferson was not happy. That's the way I'm looking at it. He was not happy with taking Justin Jefferson where he was.
No, that's definitely not a good look for him, especially with being probably one of the top wide receivers almost year in and year out.
One and two, and Jamar Chase.
Very reliable quarterback, wide receiver there with not a very reliable quarterback, unfortunately. Also, sticking with the same team for me for tight end, I'm giving it to T.J. Hockenson with also a somewhat down year for him.
All right. My tight end. We're going to a guy that was probably taking third overall as your tight end, maybe fourth, depending. I got George Kittle. I know he was hurt for 2 or 3 weeks, but even when he's coming back, he hasn't really done much, a few points here and there. To be taking as your fourth probably overall tight end, and he finishes around 12, 13, to me that's deserving to be in the worst category of that one. Nope. Especially if where you would have drafted Kittle, you would have taken a flyer on Kittle. So he would have been in that fifth round range, and you could have gotten other tight ends. I mean, like in our sleeper league, Travis Kelce finished second overall, and I think I took him in like the eighth round. So, definitely.
Definitely did what?
I said it definitely didn't help you when you had Kittle as your tight end there.
Oh, no, definitely did not. No. All right, flex position. I'm going to give it to Romeo Doubs. I believe he ended up in the flex position a lot of times, especially with him not being the number one target for Green Bay, but still, he didn't really do much. I mean, I don't know who else to put in this spot, so I'm giving it to Romeo.
They were a very hard team to pick a wide receiver from, honestly. Like, it was just like, pick your guy and pray for a touchdown. He doesn't just stick to one dude. So, yeah, that's a hard one, especially with him having high hopes of a season. At flex, a guy that you would probably put as your wide receiver two to start and then just slowly went from there to flex to probably not even playing anymore, I put Marvin Harrison Jr. Again, another sophomore slump, but his freshman year wasn't that great. It was okay. I think he had like 900 yards his first year, but yeah, I know he's battling injuries now the last 2-3 weeks, but even when he played, it wasn't really that great. He had a first, like early couple good games, but then it just kind of nothing. He slid into your flex, and then when you played him in your flex, didn't really help you. So a lot of times now, he just finished on your bench. So giving it to Marvin Harrison Jr. on this one.
Gotcha. Like that. Okay. All right. And then for defense and special teams, I think we're on a consensus with Tampa Bay taking the worst defense and special teams award there.
I don't think I'm saying a lot. But there was a lot of high hopes for the Buccaneers because, one, you have to take into consideration they're playing in the NFC South. So you're playing against Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina. It's like that's just a match made of heaven. You're playing all these guys twice.
Yep.
And yet they're ranked, I think, 15 or 14 total or somewhere in that ballpark. That's crazy. They should have easily been a top five defense, but they just weren't. Like, I look at matchups, and I would have played them a lot of weeks just because of the matchup, and they would have let a lot of people down with how they've played. So definitely a consensus here on defense with the Bucs.
Yeah, I had them on my team for a couple of weeks when they were in their up weeks, thankfully, and then I decided to drop them right after, I guess, they had a terrible week, and they got me -3 points. So I was
this was a close pick for me because my one I was teetering on between them or the other team, it was the Buffalo Bills. Their defense has been so bad this year.
Yep.
And they had somewhat high hopes this year with a couple of additions, but man, their defense is terrible. So,
yep.
But I'm going to give it to the Bucs just because of where they play in that division. There's no reason why they shouldn't be a top defense.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree there. And then finally, for the kicker, I'm going to give it to Matt Prater for the Bills. He was a bit off this season in my eyes. He wasn't kicking really well. I guess he just didn't get as many points as he normally does. Wasn't very reliable.
A little older. I know they picked him up.
A little bit older,
but...
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine, I'm going with a guy that usually finishes in the top four, somewhere in there, kicking the last 5 years. I'm going with Harrison Butker of the Chiefs. I feel like the whole team just has had a down year, almost. Like, Butker, I think, is 12. Or 11 in the kicking rankings right now. So he was in 12-team leagues, barely a starter. 10-team leagues, definitely not a starter. And he's one of those top kickers that would have been taking when you're doing your draft. So, yeah, I got to give it to Butker here.
Okay. So now for the ultimate Poop Your Pants Award. This is the guy that is just overall pooped your pants, worst of the worst.
This is tough. Because my take's going to be controversial.
Yeah, this is going to be very, very tough for us to say. I'm going to go with Chuba Hubbard since we both picked him
the
running back. So I'm going to stick with him on my part.
My pooped your pants. Controversial. I'm taking Saquon Barkley in this position. I got to look at everything overall. Saquon Barkley was a consensus number one overall pick in every draft. Doesn't matter where it is. It would have been him or Ja'Marr Chase. Where you took Barkley, you would not have been happy to how it finished. I think he's right now finished going into the playoffs. Before the playoff week, I think he was, the 12th overall as the running backs. And like 38, 39 overall total at a fantasy. So for your first overall pick, you're not going to be happy. I'm not going to really say he pooped his pants, but it's just like the Eagles pooped their pants on not running him way more than they needed to. Jalen Hurts took so many touchdowns away from Saquon this year. So it's not really indicative on Saquon Barkley himself more of the game plan and kind of Hurts taking his touchdowns. But at in the end of the day, he did not perform as that number one pick that someone would have taken. Someone would easily have taken Jonathan Taylor over Barkley at this point. They would have loved it. So, yep, I got to give poopy in your pants Saquon for this year.
Okay. I like it. So that finalizes this, first edition of our fantasy awards. We obviously did one for the MLB season, but it was just for the season itself. We didn't do any MLB fantasy-wise. But for that, congratulations to all your winners, and to those who are the worst and the worst of the worst who pooped your pants, please go home.
Do better.
Change your pants and do better.
Hit the weight room. Up.
Take responsibility. Put some pride in yourself.
Cut your nails, for God's sakes.
All right.
Oh.
Back to the regular program we go.
Programming here.
And back into Gambling Men we go to potentially take either win or lose more money. Okay. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling? Please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can we just skip this section? Because I did terrible. It was back-to-back weeks. I have done. Oh, I got killed this week.
Yeah, I went 2-3 in my top five singles, so don't worry about it. My only two wins came off of the Buffalo Bills covering the 1.5 spread over New England. That won me about $20. And then the Denver Broncos money line over Green Bay, that won me about $21. Bengals decided to lose to the Baltimore Ravens overall, so that was a loss. I took their money line. Carolina Panthers did not cover the 2.5 spread over the New Orleans Saints. They decided to lose, so that was a loss overall. And the Detroit Lions could not keep it close against the LA Rams to cover the 5.5 spread that they had against them. So that is yet another loss for me for my singles from last week. My upcoming singles, though, I had one last night thinking we were going to do this yesterday. So this is my only one because it hit. And like we said, if any hit, we get to keep them. I took the Detroit Pistons money line over the Boston Celtics last night, and they won. So I've won a little bit of money off of that. I've got one hit so far going into next week. So positive vibes. My next four, we got a game tonight between the Detroit Red Wings and the New York Islanders. I'm taking the Red Wings money line over the Islanders at -142. Got the Seahawks and the Rams on Thursday night. I think the Seahawks will cover that 1.5 spread. I think they will win the game against the Rams, like I said earlier. So that is a -118 odds bet right there just to cover that spread. It's a little bit better than just taking the money line. Honestly, it was surprising, too, like that was giving me more money than taking the Seahawks money line. So,
which is strange because even now, like I put mine down as of today, and they're better odds now.
Oh yeah,
yeah, well, it's down to -106 money line. So,
well. Anyways, I took the Chicago Bears money line over Green Bay since it's there in Chicago, and that's at +110. I like the odds of that. The Bears, coming back and beating the Packers. They only lost by one touchdown, and since they're at home, they could easily pull it off. And then I've got the Carolina Panthers money line over Tampa Bay at +124 because Carolina is at home for this game. If they have to split this series, this is where they have to do it. And they've been dangerous at home. Like this past season, we've been talking about every now and then at home, they're usually a tough team to beat. So I'm taking that Carolina Panthers money line against Tampa Bay at +124.
All right. Yeah, didn't do too much better. So my past week, I went 2 out of 5. So I won 2, lost 3. My 2-1, I had the Steelers -3.5 against the Dolphins. That netted me $19. And then I took the UConn beating Florida, and I took the spread of -3.5, and it was 4. So I barely hit that one, and that was $18. So that was it for me winning. My losses, I had Lions straight up money line against the Rams. That was at +188, too. That would have been a nice one, but that was a loss. I had the 49ers and the Titans under a 44.5, and it wasn't even freaking close. I don't know what the hell happened with that game. It was like, I think the total was almost 70, so that was insane. So there's a loss there. My last one, I had the Bucks minus 5.5 against the Falcons, and the Bucks pooped their pants on that one, and they lost. But on a side note, so on an app called FanDuel, they do a Thursday night football game where you do the anytime bet, any touchdown time, or anytime touchdown bet. Yep. And if your player is first or last touchdown, you also get put into a like a jackpot bonus, and you can they'll award however many people were in that with that bet a bunch of free basically bonus bets. So in this one, I had chosen Kyle Pitts as my anytime touchdown, and he ended up getting, he balled out. He had like 11 catches,
nice,
165 yards, 3 touchdowns. But not only that, he scored the last touchdown. So he won my bet, and then I won like $150 in bonus bets. So that was amazing for me, okay, on that game.
Yeah, I like that. But
they do it every Thursday. They do that every Thursday, so just keep that in mind. They're really fun.
Especially with this game coming up, you could see basically anybody on either of these teams scoring a touchdown.
I've only done it the last 2 weeks, and both weeks I actually hit it, so I've gotten bonus bets both times. It's been really fun.
Okay.
But yeah, sidetracked. But yeah, that's so okay. That was it for last week's. This week's, between this and my anything goes, I pretty much just hit money line on most of these, so they all just looked somewhat nice. I'm taking the NC State money line against Memphis in their bowl game at minus 182. Not the best odds, but it's still $17. I had to throw one in there to hopefully get me a win and get me off the schneid. I'm opposite of you. I'm taking Louisville to beat Tennessee at Tennessee in basketball. That was at plus 104. So I do like Louisville. They're a really good team. So I'd like to see them win that one. I do like that bet at plus 104. That one would net you $20. We talked about them earlier, and I feel like this is the chance for them to prove me wrong and blow out a team. I'm taking the UNC spread of minus 14.5 against Eastern Tennessee State. 14.5 spread that's not very high for a team that should blow them out. So that should be attainable, and I really like that bet. That's at minus 120, so that was for $18. I feel like that was almost out of all the big-time basketball school teams that are playing a sub, not the greatest team, that's a really low spread.
Which is almost everywhere this week.
Yeah, and that's extremely low, so I really love that spread. Hopefully it doesn't go up and people can take that bet. But then my fourth one, I have Miami Moneyline against the Texas A&M in their first round of the playoffs. That's at plus 146. So that would net $24. I had to throw some pluses in here to give me some more money. And then I'm taking the other big-time bowl game. I'm taking Oklahoma money line against Alabama at minus 105 to net $19 on that one.
I like that. On top of your Miami money line, my honorable mention is actually to that game. The Miami 3.5 spread against A&M, when I last looked at it, was at negative 110, which I kind of like that at a 3.5 spread.
Yeah, if you think it's a close game.
Yeah, I could see this being a close game, even if Miami does lose. Like, I don't see...
you like a game-winning field goal, you're still in it.
Yeah, I don't see A&M winning by more than a field goal, really, against Miami. I feel like this game's going to be close no matter which way it goes. So.
Yep. I
kind of like that.
I do too. That's actually nice. I think Miami's winning.
Yeah, so let's see here. Anything goes, same game, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so anything goes parlay. I'm 2-16. My only win last week was the Denver Broncos money line over Green Bay. I also parlayed that with the Panthers to cover their spread against New Orleans, which they didn't, and the Lions to cover their spread against the Rams, which they didn't. So that's a complete loss for me. For my upcoming anything goes parlay, I am taking that Chicago Bears money line against Green Bay again. Could put that into a parlay with the LA Chargers money line over Dallas, which is negative 108. And then the New England Patriots money line over Baltimore is at plus 124, which is kind of crazy for me. I think the Patriots will get a bounce back win against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens haven't been that great of a team. They obviously had a good win last week, but I just don't see, you know, the Ravens actually matching up against the Patriots, much like how the Buffalo Bills did this past week,
that one,
to be honest.
Yeah, that one scares me because it's in Baltimore. That's the only reason that one scares me.
Yeah, but that totals out to being a plus 805, and $10 will pay out $90 for me. So
yeah, that's a
bit of a big win if it hits.
Yeah. My anything goes parlay. I'm 3-15, so not too good. Last week I had the Bengals money line at plus 120. Then they just got shut out, ruined my fantasy season in general. So, yep, happy for that one. I had the Bills money line, which hit over the Pats. And then I had the Panthers money line, which lost against the Saints somehow. So, yeah, that was a bummer. This week I am taking the Seattle Seahawks money line against the Rams at minus 106. I had to juice it up a little bit more to give me some helpers. I'm taking the Eagles money line against Commanders at minus 295 just to throw it in there to help boost it. And then I'm taking the upset of Giants money line over the Vikings at plus 128. They're playing at home. Jackson Dart's been playing well. I like the Giants in this one. So all combined, it's at plus 493. So $10 will get you about $59 once you get your money back.
Nice. I like that. All right. Same game parlay. I did hockey last week. Gonna go with hockey again for the upcoming week. Last week, I took Sebastian Aho to get anytime goal. That's the only thing that didn't hit. Adam Fantilli got his three or more shots on goal that game, and Seth Jarvis got a point that game. So with Aho just not doing his part, that was a complete loss for me. I'm taking the Detroit Red Wings money line tonight over New York Islanders at negative 142. Give me Emmett Finney with two or more shots on goal at negative 145, and then Alex DeBrincat with one or more points at negative 195. Total will be plus 266. $10 will pay out $36.
Not bad. A little small one. DeBrincat's a good pick. He's been hot. He's been hot lately.
Yeah.
My same game parlay, I didn't hit any of it. I'm 4-14 total. I had the Michigan Nova game. Michigan beat Villanova pretty handily, so it beated my plus 16.5 spread. I had Yaxel for 15 points and 9 rebounds. Didn't get any of it, so scrub and move on. This week, I've got, like before my last one, I'm taking the Seattle and Seattle and the Rams this week for my same game. I'm taking Seattle money line versus Rams at minus 106. I am taking the over in this game of 44.5. I think this game could be a high-scoring game. They both put up points. Their defenses are okay. Seattle's actually had a really good defense this year, but Rams have one of the best offenses, so I do like the over in this one. And then I'm taking a Puka Nacua anytime touchdown at plus 105, so that put me at plus 513. $10 gets you 61.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, they're a little bit safer to hopefully win some back, because to start this week, I was at 267. I only won $37 out of it, and I lost 70. So put me from 267, I'm down to 234 at the end of the week now.
Yeah, at the end of this week, I'm at negative 57.
You got to hit some of these small ones now.
I need to start getting some money back here. Not looking good for me.
I don't bet on it. It's ironically a game that you've bet on twice, and I have the Bears-Packers game. I don't like the Bears-Packers game because, one, you got weather, so
yep.
If you have bad weather, you don't know what kind of over-under you're looking at, so it's hard to bet the over-under on this one. I don't like the spread because it's too close, and I don't like the money lines because they're too close. Like, if I feel like if they gave it more of an advantage one way or the other, I don't care who, I would then take it. But they're both minuses, so it's like you're not winning money. Like, you're not in the plus. The plus is really on them, so it's hard to bet on. It's not worth betting for me on that at that point. So, like, if it was Bears plus, like, 150, 120, I would take that one, but they're basically just saying dead even almost across the board, and it's hard to bet on these over-unders when you have weather that could impact this game.
Yep, that's for sure. My don't bet on is Chiefs-Titans. I believe the Chiefs are good, still have a struggle against the Titans, and the Titans are a crazy bad team, and I just don't know which way this game will go. I think the Chiefs will win, But yeah, how hopefully. Is the question? Because Patrick Mahomes is hurt, and yeah, you just got a lot of question marks just, you know, around that game as a whole. Yeah.
Take your upset of Tennessee Titans beating them now this week with no Mahomes.
No Mahomes. No Mahomes at all. All right. On to Homeward Bound we go. All right. So, with the scoreboard review, with this Homeward Bound update, Cal wins this week with 162.2 points, giving him a new overall of 2176.9 points to my 141.7 points, and my overall is at 1854.6. So I'm kind of
he's in striking distance. He's in striking distance. He's there. We still got the NHL and MLB season here, so he's in striking distance.
NHL, MLB, and the Masters.
Alex could take it over in the NHL.
Never know. You never know. We gotta get it going to see how things turn out, really. All right. Lions taking a terrible loss. I think they need to win out the rest of the season to even be considered to be in the playoffs. They can't lose another game because they've got both the Vikings and the Bears. They've got the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Winnable games. All three winnable.
Yeah, they've got Pittsburgh Steelers at least this week. So it starts there for me. Like, if they got to prove it to me against the Steelers. If they have one of those good games where they're scoring over 30 or 40 points, then I will have at least a little bit more, you know, confidence in my team, if you will, and they keep the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe, I would say, under 30 points. So.
No, I agree. I don't take too much, like, effect or too much of a loss on this with between Lions and Packers both. They both had tough opponents, and they were both not favored in either of these games. So Lions lost to the Rams at the Rams. Packers lost to the Broncos at the Broncos. Neither were favored, so. And the fact that they both played very well against both teams, it's fine. But like you said, they both need to win now. Like, the Packers have probably their biggest game of the year right now against the Bears. You sweep the Bears and the Lions, you should win the division. So, big, big game right now. If the Packers win against the Bears this Sunday, then it almost locks them up for that division, unless they just choke it out. But because they then have the tiebreaker over the Bears and the Lions. Lions need to win out just for the fact that if they win out and the Bears beat the Packers, Lions can still take first place in that division. So, nothing hurt with these two losses, but it's really up to these next couple games here, especially this next week alone. And then, yeah, you got Panthers. Panthers fumbled
a terrible loss. But they
chance
had
to take sole possession of first place.
Yeah, they had the chance. It was right in front of their face.
They have redemption.
They still have that chance coming up this week. I think
you got the Bucks.
The biggest thing is they have to split the two games between them and the Bucks.
This week is their most important game. But, I mean, yeah, if they would have just won this past week against the Saints, where they should have beat, they would have a full game advantage. And then if you can go and beat the Bucks at home, you now have a two-game advantage on them. So that was a big loss for them. But like we said with the Lions and Packers, your biggest games are ahead of you right now. So we'll see how they do.
Yep.
And then now we got to talk about the biggest news of the entire week that shocked the world.
That just shocked the world, took everybody by storm. And people were texting me, what is going on? And I was literally working coach's show at the same time that our coach got fired, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. Let me go dig. And I literally dug and I figured out all that stuff basically the same time everybody else was.
Michigan football coach Sharon Moore fired and a bunch of other. It was almost like you're standing on top of a hill and you just drop a ball and you just watch it steamroll faster and faster down the hill, starting with fired. Then, he was cheating on his wife. Oh, shoot, he almost killed himself. Oh, he threatened to kill other people. Oh, he's in jail.
Yeah, and he's gone.
It was just one thing after another. I was like, oh, my God, is this ever going to end?
Nope, it was not a never-ending thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, we don't have to go too much into it. A lot of stuff out there. He fired, rightfully so, made a bunch of mistakes.
Yep.
So long. Good luck. Hopefully you can make a comeback somewhere else.
I don't think he's going to be going anywhere with that
no,
kind of news.
It's open prayer. So he's looking at jail time. So moving on from that to more sporting news instead of personal news. Michigan still stays undefeated in basketball.
Yep, staying undefeated.
They had their kind of toughest game so far at Maryland. They were down 9 points at one point in the second half.
Yeah, to me, between that game and the Villanova game, I think they kind of came back to earth. In a way,
yeah,
to where they were kind of woken up to be like, okay, can we come back? Can we actually play from behind? And they proved that they did. And that to me is a good thing for this basketball team.
No, it was. It was a game they needed. They needed to see some adversary or something that basically shows them you're not invincible. And they were. They were down 9 points early in that second half. And, I mean, yes – if you didn't watch the game and you just look at the final score and they won by 19, 18 points, whatever, you would be like, oh, they blew them out again. But it was actually a really close game until Maryland's player, Deron Payne, got hurt. And then they had like three technical fouls called against Maryland that basically just kind of steamrolled Michigan in the second half. But yeah, they have their only game this week's against LaSalle, so they'll just blow them out. But yeah, here's to looking towards a Michigan-Nebraska game, Michigan-Michigan State game, Michigan-Purdue games. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, they just take these kind of, you know, cupcake games at this time of the year, Kyle, because they're taking finals.
That's true. They want the kids in between games.
Yeah, they just want the kids
school.
Yeah, they just want them to focus more on school than an actual basketball game against a tough opponent. So
everybody now into football cupcakes. Michigan. Who do you think? I have my let's see 1, 2, 3. I have my 4. That I think are going to be one of those four coaches.
Is one of
them
Fish?
Who are you thinking? He's one of them.
Yeah, I think he's our best candidate. I think he's the best candidate out of any of them.
So I think there's four candidates right now. You have Jed Fish.
Yep.
At Washington, he was prior quarterbacks coach with Harbaugh at Michigan. Yep. You have Kalen DeBoer over at Alabama. If they lose, he's going to be out. There's the other option. He's a good coach and he's a Midwestern guy. So. I wouldn't mind it. If they lose this game, he might. I'm not saying Michigan's gonna hire him. I'm saying they're gonna want him out personally.
If Alabama really wants him out after losing a playoff game, that's crazy. And so he can come right on us.
That's what I'm saying. If they kick him out, I would take him.
I highly doubt that. So
my third I have is recently. I even wanted this guy before the news of him stepping down happened. Was Utah's coach Kyle Whittingham. I love that dude. The dude's awesome coach.
I like that.
And he has interest. He actually has shown interest in wanting to coach Michigan. So he was my third. Not in order, but that's my other guy that I think they're going to be looking at. And the fourth one is the one that I actually do really want. And he hasn't technically said no. They've been rumors of, oh, we're going to extend him. Oh, we're going to do this. He's staying here. It's his alma mater. And that is Arizona State's coach, Dillingham. I love that dude. Yeah. He is such a good coach.
Yep. Dillingham is another one as well.
To me, in the order of who I would like, Dillingham's number one. He's a younger guy, proven. He's coached Bo Nix at Oregon and when he was at Auburn. And he's coached up all these other kids with Dylan Gabriel. Well, no, he wasn't there with Dylan Gabriel. But he's coached up very good, and he's an offensive-minded coach. So he's going to help with Bryce Underwood. So he would be my number one. My number two, I'd probably go Whittingham because he's just a proven. He's an older guy, but he's a proven head coach. At least he's going to be your stable, consistent coach for at least 4 years before he retires. So it'll give you an opportunity to look ahead. And then, I would probably stay with Jed Fish. I like Jed Fish. Do I think he would be the best guy for the position? Probably not. I would rather take the other two over him. I'd honestly take Kalen DeBoer if I knew it was a possibility because I think that dude is an amazing coach. Just I don't think Alabama fits him. And I think people see it too. It just doesn't blend with them. So those are my four.
I like that.
I would, if it was between Dillingham and DeBoer, Dillingham's my number one. I would want him over all of them. Other than that, I'd probably go DeBoer second.
Okay. What about a name that you haven't thrown out yet that I keep hearing rumors about is Minter. What about him from coming back over from San Diego?
Don't get me wrong. I'd love him to come back. He's not going to. He's going to be a head coach in the NFL. So the only reason why I wouldn't want him to come back, even if he's like, I'll come back and coach, he's only going to be there for like 2 years and then he'll leave.
And that's the thing, too, is if he is there for 2 years.
I don't want the
years,
next coach.
How many games are they going to make him sit out because he was a part of that whole thing, too?
His thing's over.
Okay. That's good. 2 days ago. That was my whole thing about hearing his name. I was just sitting here like, all right, if we do hire Minter, how many games are they going to force him to
not coach? Yeah, no, he wouldn't have to sit out any. His show clause ended like 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 3 days ago. So he'd be fully reinstated. So, but the only problem with that is I don't want to hire a coach that is looking to the NFL again. I don't want the whole Harbaugh situation again, where we had to deal with his Harbaugh leaving for 3 years. If it's Jesse Minter, it's going to be that way.
Okay.
Because he's going to coach in the NFL. So I'd rather stick with someone like Kalen DeBoer, who you would probably have for at least 4 or 5 years. And if he even has interest going to the NFL, but he would be a solid coach. And then the young 35-year-old Dillingham, who he's not going to be a head coach in the NFL until maybe he's 40, but he just wants to be a college coach. But like Ward Manuel, I don't like him, but he even said, I think yesterday, that we have candidates and we are willing to throw the bag at who we want. So money is not an issue of when we're hiring a coach. We will outbid anyone. It's whether they're willing to leave. So yeah, I think they're in good hopes. He said we'll see a hire before the new year. Hopefully sooner, so you can get these guys, they know their future. Yep. It's better for the recruits and the players on board.
Definitely do it before the recruiting window opens.
It's like a good news, bad news. Jaden Davis, our backup quarterback, transferred today. That puts it into the scope of, I think he knows he doesn't have a chance, which means Bryce is probably going to stay. It really just depends on the coaching hire, but as of right now, Bryce is still staying.
Yep.
If, let's say, they hire a coach and he doesn't like, then he might transfer. But I don't think Michigan's not going to do their due diligence and ask the players, do you like these guys? Here are some candidates. Which one do you guys like? Yep. They'll do that. That's how they hire Jim Harbaugh. They had a team meeting and asked.
Yep.
So I don't think you'll see a huge turnover in transfers. You might just see the guys that don't start leave, but other than that, I don't think you're gonna see a big hiatus.
No, I wouldn't expect it, unless like you get a lot of, you know, dedicated recruits really that are supposed to be coming in decide to.
Yeah, we lost one. We lost a big one. That one hurt.
But I was kind of expecting that, even after any kind of coach loss, no matter what. Moving on to Wolfpack. Wolfpack taking a tough loss against Kansas.
To Kansas. They need that win. That would have been a huge win for them.
That would have been awesome. Going to be playing Memphis, though, this week for football, so looking forward to that. That's going to be a pretty good game for the Gasparilla Bowl.
I like their odds in this one. They got a good young quarterback, good young team, so I think they'll be fine against Memphis. I think they'll be fine in basketball. I think they're just still trying to find their stride with Will Wade. Still the best hire. Like, just watching that, I watched that whole game. Yep. Watching the coaching difference between Will Wade and their older coach, Kevin Keats, night and day different type of coaching. Will Wade is a yell at the refs at all time.
Oh yeah.
He's a fiery dude when
just
he's
fired
when
up
he's coaching,
all the time.
Is,
you gotta like a
they
coach
never
like
had
that.
That. You never had that with Kevin Keats. Will Wade is just in your face. They could be winning by 20. He's still gonna be yelling at them. So they're in good hands.
That's a good coach right there in my eyes. Yeah, that's a good coach. Because that's how Todd Golden is too. For the Florida Gators. Like, he's just always in somebody's face no matter what. Red Wings keep themselves in a good position. I think they can stay in this good position before the calendar year ends. I have a good positive vibe about it. Like, they keep, you know, getting good points. They keep taking it to overtime or shootouts, or they even, you know, don't really lose much like in regular time as they were earlier this season.
Get a point.
Which is, as long as you're getting that point, you're good in my eyes.
Yep. As of this morning, they were in second place in the Atlantic. So they're right there. So a couple things they got to do. One, they still need to hit the trade market. They've got to get one more defenseman to me. I think they need to get one more good, solid defenseman. I want them to get somebody like the Calgary Flames defenseman, Rasmus Anderson. He's a solid defenseman, a little bit older, but you can get him for a decent price. Yep. They need to hit. They need to get a couple trades because I think Yzerman will, because I think he knows they're in it right now. I'm glad they didn't spend the entire farm to get Quinn Hughes when he could just end up re-signing or sign with them in the free agency. We'll see. But the one thing the Red Wings really have to do and avoid this year is they can't go on that six-game, seven-game drought like they did last year that ruined their playoff chances. So, like, what they're doing now is great. Win two, lose one, lose two, win three. Like, they're not going into that. We're losing four straight, five straight without getting a point at it out of those games.
Yep.
So, like, they're going on their road trips and they're doing well. They just need to make sure going forward they avoid those four or five game losing streaks and just one or two losses at a time and then win three in a row or something like that.
Or possibly just take it into overtime before you lose.
Exactly. Just beat the teams you need to beat. Like, don't, yeah. Like last year that hurt them also. Like, they went to Arizona and lost to Coyotes twice. Like, you can't lose those games. You have to win those games.
Yeah, you can't lose those, unfortunately. Canes, they're about to have a tough road test this week going down to Florida.
They got the Florida trip, and it's always a tough one.
Yeah, it's not, Tampa not
and,
easy.
And the Panthers.
Yeah. Pistons, they're keeping themselves at the top of the Eastern Conference. They're doing a really great job of staying there. They're probably one of the top teams right now. Kyle, I did, you know, a future bet, which I'm just mentioning here. I did it when they had that 13 win streak because, you know, you had all the hype around them. So I did a future bets for the Pistons to win the NBA championship, along with, I think I took Buffalo to win the NFL championship and then Dallas to win the Stanley Cup. So, because I just went with teams that had the same amount of odds, because the odds for the Pistons at the time were plus 2,700. So I went for any teams that were right around plus 2,700. And believe it or not, the Bills were right there for the NFL. And I was like, okay, let's go with the Bills. And yeah, I went to NHL, and then I was just like, all right, who's close enough? And then it was
their
Dallas.
Their odds dropped drastically after those few losses. But they're definitely a worthwhile pick right now.
Yeah, so I went with that. And then Wrexham get yet another draw, Kyle, believe it or not. Surprise, surprise.
Well, you know.
2-2 this time. Exactly. They decided to score four goals total, two for each side.
Well, at least there was some excitement in the game.
At least there was something going on. All right. With that, that was Season 2, Episode 19 of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Dobis.
Y'all have yourself a good rest of your day.